to the last part of verse 14. Goodwill toward men. That is God's goodwill toward men. One of the things that always occurs to me when I read the parable of the man who found treasure hid in a field, and one of the purposes that the Lord Jesus told it, was that this man was going about his everyday business. Day began, that was the beginning of a day, on his way to work. But it began as it always began. Nothing different was expected. Everything was just the same as it always was. Oh, maybe he had toothache that day, which he didn't always have, and maybe his boots leaked that day that they didn't normally do. But really, it was one day after another, and didn't expect anything. And so it was here with the shepherds. They went out every night, at least at certain times of the year. They may send them up the hills in the high summer. But they were gathered together. And they were gathered round their flocks. They were keeping watch over them. Because there were wolves. Maybe in those days there were still remains of, still lions remaining in the district. But there were enemies to the sheep. And so it was that the shepherds all gathered together. I imagine there were a number of flocks and a number of shepherds. And that they were sitting probably round the fire. We don't know whether it was warm. We know it was cold at Easter, because you remember they all had a fire while they were waiting for the Lord Jesus to be examined. But we're not told that about Christmas. We imagine it has to be snowy, but then if we were Australian, we would imagine it had to be sunny. We're not actually told. But they were out there. They were with their sheep, and they were watching over them. Perhaps, even if it wasn't cold, they had a fire in order to keep wild animals at bay. And while all these things was going on, and they had no thoughts for anything else but what they always thought, they were Jewish men. Maybe they weren't being drunken or anything like that. Maybe it was just good-natured companionship and friendship. But it was just going on in the ordinary way. When suddenly something happened. And the Bible points to it by saying, "Lo!" Now that's short for "look." So you read the story. There were in the same countries shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Look! The angel of the Lord. Sometimes in the Old Testament, where the expression "angel of the Lord" is used, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnational guise. But of course it can't mean that here, because the Lord Jesus is about to be born in the city, or is already just born. So it was an angel sent from the Lord, one of those near messengers. We're not told that it was Gabriel, as Gabriel's name had been mentioned earlier, about telling Mary and telling about Zacharias. But we're not told who this one was. Just an angel of the Lord. Do you know how many angels there are? It probably is worth looking up. I think it's Revelation 7. I can't be absolutely positive about that, but let me have a look. No, it's not 7. Chapter 5. And verse 11 of Revelation. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders." Well, there weren't many of those beasts and elders. Mostly it's angels. "And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Who's good at maths? How many is that? How many noughts are there? Well, I might be wrong, but I think it's 10 million. "And thousands of thousands more." I think that's what it means. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Large, large number, but limited. Whereas, of course, we're told about believers in heaven, it was a multitude that no man could number. So, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. And do you know what their work is? We're told that in Hebrews chapter 1 and at verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So, they're spirit beings, but they're sent to help believers. Millions of them. I don't think we have a guardian angel, one angel each. I think we may be helped by a group of angels at one time and just one angel at another. I remember when I had my one and only serious car accident, was flying through the air as a result of it. My thought immediately was angels. And it must have been the Lord put it there, but it was me sailing over the road. And angels, I just knew that I was being looked after by angels. No, I went from one side to the other of a four-lane carriageway up in the air like that and could see the cars coming this way and the cars coming that. All I got was a nosebleed. And I think with regard to my life that the half hasn't been told me of the way angels look after us. Now actually, they are created beings. And it's wonderful to have the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, in our hearts. That's greater than all the angels put together. And sometimes I've wondered if perhaps the angels' ministry is mostly physical, to help us along our physical. I don't know, it's just reading, putting the scriptures together, whereas the Holy Spirit leads us in spiritual things. So, unseen, there are lots and lots and lots of angels. Do you find that difficult to think of? And then when you think that the Bible teaches that there are principalities and powers and all sorts of evil influences also in the air, that there's so many things we don't see. Ah, that's not a problem, is it? How many radio, television, email things going through the air you don't see? No problem, is it? So, the Bible teaches us that there are angels. And on this particular occasion, the angels were revealed. First one, and then more. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I find that interesting. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord, somebody's put it, trailing clouds of glory. The glory of the Lord they brought with them from heaven. I don't know if I put that very well, really. But the glory of the Lord, though it was the angel of God who came, it shone round about them. Again, can you imagine it? A dark night. Can you imagine the glory of the Lord shining? How bright was it? Was it shining behind them or in front of them? And you walk into a searchlight, you can't see where you're going. But if it's behind you, it's a different matter altogether, isn't it? The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Net result is they were terrified. They'd never seen anything like this. Of course they hadn't. There never had been anything like this. They were very afraid. There was a natural fear, but their minds were saying, what is all this? What's happening? Why are we having this visitation? But the angel of the Lord soon put their minds at rest. He said, like the Lord God himself always says, like the Saviour always says, fear not. Fear not about anything. Fear not because the Spirit of the Lord will go before us and protect us. Fear not because the angels can protect us. Fear not because it's God's will, the Father, that they should do these things. Fear not. I'm bringing you good news. I bring good tidings of great joy. I've come with good news. I've come to tell you about something that is in this day of bad news as it was then as now. I mean, it wasn't going to be many months later that Herod tried to murder all the children anywhere around about the age of Jesus. There was evil in the world then as now, and of much the same ilk as now as well. But I bring you good tidings of great joy, good news, for all people. Not all without exception, because we know that not everybody feels this great joy. But all sorts and conditions of people all over the world at different times of history will find that this is good news that I come to bring. And what is that good news? Unto you. Unto mankind. Is born this day in the city of David. Now, that made them perk up. They were overlooking the city of David. Well, I always assume they were. It doesn't say so. They might just be level with the city of David in the fields round about. I always think of them as slightly on the moor side. But city of Bethlehem, that's ever so near. We are shepherds from the Bethlehem area. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Now they knew about Christ, the specially anointed one who one day would come from the Lord to save. And their idea of salvation was that the nations would be saved, they would be saved from the enemy nations. But of course the idea of Saviour, as was revealed, was thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So it's good news because this one that is born will save them from their sins. Now, it's all right. It's like hearing the gospel and you think to yourself, well, it's all right for everybody else, but I'm an exception. They're sinners, I'm not a sinner. Oh, my sins are too bad, but it's all right for all the others. And maybe when they were listening to this, that it'll be good news for all mankind. They were thinking to themselves, wow, that's lovely. And suddenly it's, ye shall find him. Suddenly, ye shall find him. This shall be a sign for you. Ye shall find the babe. And the distinctive thing is not only that he has swaddling clothes. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Nothing unusual in that. Lying in a manger. Didn't happen often, if it had ever happened before at all. And just as the angel said that, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Hence what I said about the angels. Now, you know, we talk about a host of people. The word in Greek here is army. The heavenly armies. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army. Well, that's nice. Squadron, detachment. What would you think? 500? 1,000? Million? There'd still be loads left in them, wouldn't there? And of course I have no idea. I'm just trying to think and get you to think of what a wonderful occasion this was. There was a multitude. The whole of the heavens, wherever they looked, were filled with spirits revealed, angels taking the form, or a form so that they could see that they were angels. And there was a multitude of the heavenly host. But they weren't fighting. They sometimes did fight against the powers of evil and protect believers. But they weren't fighting. They were praising. I think that means singing. But it says praising God and saying. I think the meaning is they were singing and these were the words. But can you just imagine that scene? Now, did that ever happen when we were born? Had anything like it ever happened before? Has anything like that ever happened since? The whole of heaven turning out the day a child is born and praising the Lord for that child. Is this not a good argument for the uniqueness of our Saviour? That he is God's beloved Son, and those who do not love him, he does not love. Has there ever been a child, a man, like the Saviour? Not just his birth, but what he came to do. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The glory due to God is for the particular nature of this child, as we were thinking this morning. But peace and goodwill toward men. Now, ever since the days of Cain, there has been a war with those who are in rebellion to God. And because of the fall of Adam and Eve, everyone has been in rebellion to God. How can there be peace? And if God is angry with the wicked every day. It's one of those passages that, like you read in Romans, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We resist it saying, well, yeah, but we do good, but it's only comparative. It's not in the sight of God. There's not one who by nature in the sight of God does good. And we find it equally hard, probably, to think that God is angry with the wicked every day. But don't find it difficult. I suggested in the prayer. How would you feel if you did something special and others trashed it all? Or if they didn't trash it, they just didn't appreciate it? What do you think that our Heavenly Father thinks about what men do on this earth and their denial of him, the great creator? Do you think he's pleased? Or do you think he's actively hostile? wouldn't the events on earth suggest? He's actively hostile. The peace and the goodwill are bound up in this child. It's only in this child that there is peace from God to man and man with God. And it is only in this child that there is goodwill of God to man and of man to God. And this is what they're proclaiming. It is so special. If the Saviour didn't come, nobody but nobody would be saved. But in Christ is an end of all war with God, but only in Christ. And the goodwill of God is displayed in the sending of his only begotten Son into this world of sin. This brings glory to God. The very highest place. In the presence of God on his throne, ruling the world, ruling the universe. In that exalted position, the birth of this child brings him delight and glory. Glory to God in the highest. Equally on earth, God brings peace and goodwill toward men in this Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often said, rightly, that the Lord revealed the coming of the Lord Jesus to two very different groups of men. Shepherds and wise men. Local shepherds. Wise men who travelled a long way. Shepherds, like when we go to see people, we didn't bring anything with us sometimes. And those who brought gifts, they were symbolic. They all represent different people of different times. But here we see that it was revealed to the shepherds, you go and find him. We know nothing much about the wise men, except that they were prompted by the same God to go and find him. It took them a little longer, I think, to arrive. But the shepherds went that very night. Ye shall find. Afterwards we're told that it looks, when you read it, came to pass as the angels were not gone away, the Greek is present, going away. As the angels were receding, as the angels were passing away into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. It looks as if they, for a minute or two, perhaps for 10 minutes or so, they sat there thinking, do we go, don't we go? Can we leave our sheep, don't we leave our sheep? But ye shall go. Now, here is the gospel call. The angels are preaching the gospel. You go and you find. There is no excuse for not going and not finding. I always have imagined that probably the youngest one they left looking after the sheep. I think I might be wrong. They might have been prepared after what they'd seen to trust the Lord to look after the sheep. Well, they all went. Why should someone miss it? But you go. When the gospel is preached, the Lord commands that we repent. And the Lord also takes the initiative where one day looked to be the same as another day and breaks into the lives of people before they believe and says, you believe. You go to Christ. You find Christ. And of course, you can't argue that that's us taking the initiative. The gospel call comes from God in Christ. The gospel call comes from God and directs us to Christ. All we do is go. So they went. And they said, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass. But they were in no doubts that the Lord hath made it known to them. I suppose, do you know, I haven't got it now, I don't think, but for years I kept my baptismal certificate. I was baptised the first Sunday in 1952, and I thought to myself, you know, the day will go back into the past, and maybe a day will come when I wonder if I even was baptised, you know, these funny flashbacks that you have. But I've got the evidence here. And so, they were to go. And that, how long did you think it lasts, that visitation of angels? Was it here and gone in 20 minutes? Who knows? But they were in the blackness of the night again. Maybe they could wonder, did this really happen? They got to move on. They came with haste. It's a shame when people delay responding to the gospel call. And they found Mary and they found Joseph. But what they were really looking for, no mention had been made of Mary or Joseph, only that the babe had been wrapped in swaddling clothes, which presupposes folks there to look after him. But what they were really looking for was the babe lying in a manger. Same with the gospel. You're not looking for the minister. You're looking for the saviour who comes to save. When they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. All they that heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things. The picture is that they explained to Mary and to Joseph why they had come, and when they left, they went and found everybody else as well and told them. And so folks knew about the coming of this Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And Mary pondered in her heart what she'd always believed from the first visit of the angel to the time when the Holy Ghost visited her so that she could conceive the child. What she'd believed all along was now reinforced by the shepherds who brought this news that the whole of heaven had turned out to welcome this child and to direct mankind in pursuit of goodwill towards men, in pursuit of the angels ministering unto those who shall be heirs of salvation. The whole of the heaven's angels had turned out to draw attention to this child, to welcome this child. Well, we're not that anybody turned to the Lord. But it seems extremely likely that there would have been those shepherds who over the next 30 years from time to time heard about the Lord Jesus. Mary certainly became a believer. Maybe they and the people who had the news from the shepherds became believers. When you think of all these wonderful things, why should we be left out? When the gospel is being preached, that we may be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God says it. Heaven says it. The angel says it. The Bible records it. Why should we shrug our shoulders and go away in indifference and not enter into that benefit designed for man, and which many others, some educated, some uneducated, some in one culture, others in a number. But why shouldn't we enter into what millions of others, a multitude that no man can number, have entered into? We know better. We're going to be left out. We need to turn and find this same Saviour who died, of course, who rose again from the dead, and is alive forevermore and saves all those that turn to him. Amen.